Good morning. Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
I want to speak a personal word before sharing the sermon. Last week, I had a birthday. Turned 50, and that was exciting. I found that to be sort of a reflective time, and I mean that in the very best of ways. I did not find it to be depressing. I didn't find it. If you do a lot of funerals, you get very comfortable with mortality, and you feel pretty good about birthdays, frankly. You feel pretty good. So many of you sent me cards or Facebook messages or just found thoughtful ways to acknowledge that. And I just want to tell you how nice that was for me. A couple of you came up to me and said, I didn't want you to have to open up one more card, so I didn't send it. I even received that with generosity. Like, I'm just happy for it all, right? But it was so very thoughtful, and I know there's a question out there about did they really keep it secret from you, and the answer is yeah, they really did. My administrative assistant has access to all my email, and she went and deleted the happenings where those things were announced, and I did start to get a little suspicious when several of you not only knew it was my birthday coming, but knew which one it was. I thought, wait a minute, something's going on. But it didn't matter. I'll tell you what matters is there's a big box of nice sitting on my desk right now. And thank you. That's just what I wanted to say. One of the great blessings of my life has been to be your pastor. It's been really great. And I just thank you. So... I'm a very blessed guy, and I know that, and so thank you. So we're about to start a new sermon series called Complaint-Free World. I'm very excited about this. I get excited when things I need to fix in me are things I get to talk about on Sunday, which is almost every week. But this one is very transformational, and I'll talk about that because I think we've got some things that are going to help all of us sort of take a step towards transformation in this area. So I'm happy about that. Would you pray for me with me? Dear God, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be blessed. Thank you for the opportunity to transform. And thank you that I pray at this time you will be with us. Bless the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, that we, O Lord, might know your presence at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Like everywhere in the United States, in California and Los Angeles County, police officers receive complaints about traffic violations. In other words, when people get a traffic violation, they don't just go, "Oh, thanks." They sometimes write up a little note and say, "I'm frustrated that the officer did this." And so they take those complaints and they put them in files. Everybody's got a personnel file, and every time somebody issues a complaint, they just drop it right in that file. And as you can imagine, those files get thicker the longer you are a police officer. Now, there is one particular police officer, and the supervisor noticed his file. His name is Elton Simmons. He has made over 25,000 stops in the 20 years he has served in Los Angeles County. He has cited thousands of motorists, and here's what his supervisor knows about his file. It was this thin. No one had ever written a complaint letter about the way he treated them. There was not one. In fact, there were letters of commendation. And the supervisor thought, we ought to take a look at this guy because he's got something going on. And so the supervisor began to study this. CBS News eventually heard about this, and they assigned a crew to follow Simmons and learn his secret. And they noticed this, he is a pitch-perfect mix of authority and diplomacy. There is not a trace of arrogance or self-righteousness. Simmons still hands out plenty of tickets, but what he doesn't do is give the standard, and I shouldn't say same, the article said the standard guilt trip. Simmons said, and now I am quoting from what he said, "I'm right here with you. I'm not up here looking down on you." He said, "I don't like it when I feel like other people are being superior to me, and so I try not to treat other people that way, and when I give a traffic citation, I just come right along next to you, and I try to explain what it was." One person, the news crew, followed him around, and after he gave somebody a ticket, they walked up and interviewed that person and said, "What's different here?" And one person said, "I think it's the smile that guy has." He said, "How do you get angry at that guy? This is somebody who just got a ticket, right?" So what's going on here? The news team writes, "Time after time, ticket after ticket, we saw Officer Simmons melt away a polar ice cap of preconceptions. And his boss claims there's a lesson there for hard-nosed cops everywhere." Friends, imagine, if you will, just for a minute, imagine a complaint-free world. Imagine that your file, your name's right here, and it's empty. Nobody, all day long, had one complaint about you. Imagine a world where you don't fill other people's files with complaints. Imagine that. Where you go through your day, day in, day out, and you speak in such a way that one of these complaints doesn't land anywhere in somebody else's file that they later open and discover later because somebody else told them or because they heard about it. Or just imagine a complaint-free world. Imagine your home. Imagine if your family said, "Let's be a complaint-free family." Or in your home, if you're not married or you don't have children, imagine that in your friendships, you said, let's be a complaint-free friendship. And just think about how that would change your house. Imagine coming home and saying to the other people in your home, "How was your day?" And suddenly what they gave was a litany of compliments about the teacher who was really helpful, the coworker that went out of their way, a friend who said something really intelligent, a person they met on the street that was funny, somebody they interacted with at a business that was just fantastic. Imagine how that would affect your life if you sat at dinner and together you just sort of shared things that had gone well that day. And along the way, maybe you shared some things that didn't go that well, but you shared them in factual ways. Not complaints, but, maybe something unfortunate did happen. And think of how that would then change everything. How the request, "Would you drive the carpool?" would be received. "I'd be happy to." "Would you mind running an errand?" "Yeah, I can do that." "Hey, could you pick up your room?" "Sure." "I know, you got to work, imagine it." Imagine it. Stay with me. Because honestly, doesn't it sound mythical? Doesn't it sound like, "Tom, you're doing it again, You're living in la-la land. This is not possible." I know, and that's the reason is you don't live in this world. And even if you decided to make your home a complaint-free home, and even if you decided the people around you were going to join you in this covenant, you would still live in a normal world. You would go to school, and other people would be complaining. You'd go to your office, you'd go out and to do your community work, whatever you spend your day, you'd go to the gym, and you would find yourself with normal people living the normal way, but not with you. You would enter that space, and when you entered that space, free of complaints, you would change the lighting in the room. Suddenly, people would be a little happier, a little brighter. Why? Because you'd start to notice good things around you, and you'd start to say them out loud. And you'd start to think, there are good things, and you would begin to change other people. Just Stick with me. Imagine a complaint-free world. Now, we don't live in such a world. We live in a world where complaint is often taken to the level of extreme sport. February 2009, a 27-year-old woman walks into Fort Pierce, Florida McDonald's. She orders a 10-piece chicken McNugget. She wants the nuggets. She's apparently been thinking about the McNuggets for a long time because she joyfully gives her money to the woman behind the counter. The person behind the counter then takes the money, enters in the cash register, puts it in the register, turns around, and then discovers a terrible thing. No nuggets. Oh, I know. You feel her pain, don't you, already? Right? No nuggets. And turns around to the customer and says, I'm very sorry. No nuggets. But I can give you anything you want off this menu because I'm really sorry. And this woman is not just frustrated. She's downright angry. What do you mean, no nuggets? Give me my money back. And listen, the woman behind the counter says, I'm really sorry. We have a policy. Once we put that money in the register, I can give you anything here, but I can't give you the McNuggets. But I can give you anything. And this one over here, she's having none of it. She doesn't want the McWrap. She doesn't want the McDouble. She doesn't want the McChicken. She's not having anything to do with a Happy Meal, I'll tell you that. No, not going to be any happy. And so this, and think about this woman, her power in the organization. Would we all agree? Fairly limited, right? If you want to find a powerful person, this is not where you're going to go. And she says, ma'am, I'm just really sorry. And this woman is not just complaining. She is now having a full-blown complaint meltdown. In fact, it's so bad that she pulls out her cell phone and, yes, dials 911. Yes, calls the police. I need to register an emergency. They have my money, and I'm not getting my nuggies. It's not happening. And so the police, apparently the operator, the 911 operator, decided that the person whose house was burning down was in fact more important, and so hung up on her. And so she just picked it up, and she just did it again. She dialed 911 a second time. Oh, yes, that one hung up too. And so she, dialed it again three times. And guess what? Even after all that, did not get her McNuggets. She did later that evening get a fine for misusing 911. That's the world you live in. See, the thing about that story is when I read it, what really struck me is this. I was not surprised. That actually didn't surprise me. I totally believe that happened. I did verify it in a couple places. But it really did happen. So it's easy to look at her and say, how ridiculous, but let me ask you this. What do you bring in that same moment? What reaction do you have in that same type of situation? In fact, how are you anytime related to the emergency of complaint? And I'll tell you, I started with this complaint-free world thing on Friday by putting this purple armband on. I can't stand rubber armbands. I say that as a fact, but I can't complain about it, which is such a catch-22. But I did it, and I kind of like the purple armband. I'll tell you why, because it sort of catches me. It makes me think. It's heavy enough that I really think about it, and it's awkward because it's a little bit sticky. And so I put it on there, and I got to tell you, I thought, I'm gonna kill this thing. I'm going to be fantastic. I'm going to be awesome. And after I changed it for the third time by Friday evening to the other arm, which indicated I had made a complaint, I realized something. This is going to be a boatload of hard. This is really, in fact, I'm going to have to shave my wrist because it hurts. Like, it's not good. What do you bring to this world? What are your habits of speech? Well, let's define complaint. Let's get some boundaries around this thing. Dictionary says that a complaint is an expression of grief, pain, or dissatisfaction. It's something that is the cause or subject of a protest or outcry. One person said, complaints are the counterattacks for perceived injustice. And I think that word injustice is critical to understanding of what a complaint is. wow, I complain whenever I feel like somebody's done something to me, somebody didn't give me something I deserve, I didn't get one of my entitlements. I mean, just that I've got, there's, for me, complaining is a lot about injustice. It's not fair is implied in the complaining that I do. You'll have to figure out how you do it. But here's what I want to propose to us as a church. What if in the month of September we join together and we try a complaint-free experiment? What if all of us begin to wear a purple arm bracelet that says a complaint-free world on it, which is what this one says? And what if your family does this as a family? In fact, we bought these bracelets and we're going to give them out in Sunday school today in the wrist size of your child. We've got them for your students. That'll be handed out at student ministry tonight. And we've got them here at the door when you leave today for those of you who are adults. What if we try to go for 21 straight days without one complaint? But here's the deal. I'm on day 3, but yes, this morning when I came in, having started a fresh day, Barbara and I were talking about something, and I realized something. I complained, and I had to take it off and switch it, and so it's not day 3. Do you know what day it is? Day 1. I'll tell you more about the mechanics of this towards the end of the sermon. A lot to think about. What if you did this with me? What if we all do it together? And what if we lived or attempted to live in that world that's just free of complaints? Now, you may be asking, but whoa. If I do that, it'll be essentially a monastic vow of silence for 30 days. And somebody walked up to me after the last service and went, "You started this during football season? Are you kidding me? Are you joking with me? Football season." And I'm like, wow, glad I wasn't living in a complaint-free world when Tech was playing Alabama. I'm really, really happy I didn't start it then, because it'd been, I just torn that wrist up, you know, with all my thoughts. Okay, what's a complaint? What's in, what's out? What are the boundaries on this thing? Well, if we had a habit, and I want to tell you, friends, for me, I'm going to have to train myself. And let me say this, I'm going to have to retrain my brain. We're going to have to be clear about what it is to do it. So let me give you a practical example. You go into a doctor's office, because what I'm talking about is what's a complaint, what's not. You go to a doctor's office, it's a 9 o'clock exam, just annual physical. You sit down in the waiting room, and by 9 o'clock you've filled out your paperwork and you're ready. Okay, so you got there at about 9:15 just to be ready, because you know that nurse is going to pop out at 9 o'clock and say your name, and then you're going to walk back and the exam's going to start. And at 9 o'clock, you're ready, and you're like, okay, and there it is, 9 o'clock. And then you sit there, and you're very patient, you look around the room, you notice other people are there, and you're thinking, wow, that guy's not doing good, that's not good. I don't want, you maybe move down a little bit, you know. And then 9:10, it's 9:10, and so you pick up a magazine, and you're thinking about the magazine, and then you look at your watch, it's 9:20, and now you're getting a little agitated. You know what I'm talking about? You get a little agitated, and then you're thinking, yeah, you know what, I've got a life too, and I've got things to do, and wish I would have known this would be 9:20, and look at your watch again, it's 9:30. At 9:40, a nurse walks out and says your name and takes you back to an exam room. Now, in a complaint-free world, here is option number one for you. Complaint-free option number one, because I know what you're thinking. I can't say anything. I just have to be seriously Southern. You know how Southern people are? Like, we just smile at you and don't say anything, and then we just gripe all over the place later. So, and we call that being polite. So, I mean, we do, right? That's the culture of being Southern. And so, I mean, that's, I was raised in it. You were too. So, well, some of you were, but I digress. The point is, you say to the doctor walks in very friendly. Hey, how are you doing? Doctor, I'm fine, thank you. I'm really glad to see you as well. Can I just say one thing before we start? Just so that you know, because you probably aren't aware of what's happening out there because you're so busy back here. Today, it's a 40-minute wait. And I just want to tell you that because you obviously are a person of influence around here. And that's it. Okay, you don't say more. You don't, and did you notice my tone? You know what I've noticed about me with complaining? It's not what I say, it's how I say it that makes it a complaint. I got zapped yesterday because I said something at home, and it wasn't what I said, it was how I said it. And I didn't need anybody else to tell me, I just flipped the bracelet because I was like, okay, there's Tom. So you say it professionally, calmly, and politely. Because can I tell you something? Nice matters. Nice is important. Complaint-free option number two. You don't say a word to the doctor. You just do the exam, and you get out of there as fast as you can. And then on your way out, there's a receptionist desk. And at the receptionist desk, you just politely say, hey, do you have a business manager? And the receptionist says, yes, we do. We have an office manager. Would it be okay if I speak to that person? It'll be under a minute. Sure. Office manager comes out, and you politely and professionally say, listen, I'm sure you all get backed up sometimes. I just want to register something. I had a 9 o'clock appointment. I didn't go in till 9:40, and that will affect my morning now. And I don't know if you need to give people a heads up. Now, the office manager or the doctor, either one may say, you know, we had an emergency in the back today, and we had to deal with it, and that threw us all off. And then you'll have information. But here is normal world option. Normal world option is you don't say anything to the doctor, you don't say anything to the office manager, you walk out of the thing, and you pick up that cell phone, and you phone a friend. And in the friend, you just go, you won't believe what the doctor did today. Wow, it must be good to feel that important. Like, my time's not important, too. Who do they think they are? And I had to sit around with all those sick people, and now I'm feeling kind of rough, and I know I'm going to get something. Da-da-da-da. And then, normal option number two, you hang up that phone call, and now you pull up your Facebook application, and you type, sat for 45, 50 minutes in the doctor's office. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm just so irritated. And then, option number three, you just pull up the Twitter application, and you tweet, stuck at the doctor's office at hashtag, and then you give the office name. Now, I give you those examples because as somebody whose job performance has been reviewed widely on Facebook, and I tell you what, seriously, I know it's funny. It's not funny when you're receiving it. You know why? There's no way I can go to the 1,000 people that are reading this and give context and explanation. It's just out there that Flora stinks and Tom stinks in particular. And if you've never received it, you probably don't know. It's really painful. And it keeps you up at night because you just think, I wish I could tell people. And sometimes you do foul things up and you'd like to give a solid apology, but you don't want to feed the dragon. Because sometimes it's not just that people are complaining about things that are wrong. Sometimes they're saying things that are true, and you'd like to apologize as well as you did to them personally. But here's what's interesting. I notice when I go and apologize to somebody for something that I did wrong, they don't put that on Facebook. They don't tweet about that. So people then have the perception that you do these bad things, but you never apologize. What if we lived in a complaint-free world? And complaint, the big issue, the dynamic in complaint is, it's okay to register things, but you register it with people who have the power to change it. The power to do something about it. And you seek an explanation, or you just seek an apology, which is okay. Sometimes that's appropriate. Complaint is often about being misplaced. Now, by now you should be saying, Tom, you're a preacher, we're in church, how is this a spiritual issue? Well, Matthew 5:13 says this, you are the light of the world. Oh, no, you are the salt of the earth. That's going to come later. You are the salt of the earth. You are already, listen, when you decide to become a Christ follower, friends, can I tell you something? And this is why some of you haven't become Christ followers yet. You're on the edge, but you haven't taken the step yet because you know that once you do that, something's going to come with it, and this is the something. You're already the salt of the earth. And Jesus said, be careful about being salt that's lost its taste. We have to ask, how does salt lose its taste? It gets corrupted by other materials. It mixes in with other elements. And in the chemical equation that comes out, salt's no longer salt if you mix it with impurities. And so suddenly, we become so much like the normal world that we no longer enhance anything. And we fill our brains and souls with complaints, and then we lose the flavor of life that was to be our essence. And friends, our essence was not to be complaint. It was to be joy, joy, joy. When we spend our time complaining about the world around us, we lose sight of the goodness that is before us. And the danger is not just to ourselves. It's the witness that we bring to others. It's the witness we bring. Listen, a lot of us are trying to raise kids as Christians, and we are miserable all the time. We complain all the time, and our kids are just normally looking at us going, why would I want Jesus if that's what it produces? That's when salt's not salt. Jesus said, you're light of the world. What's the function of light? The function of light is to illuminate a room. It's to make it feel more cheerful, to allow you to read or see people or enjoy a space. It is to lift the darkness and make people feel safe. You know, when people walk in, often the first thing they do is turn on a light. Why? Because they want to know it's safe. Often our homes are so full of complaints that they're just not safe spaces. And especially, and as a parent, I struggle with this, sometimes we just complain about our kids the same way our kids complain about us. Now, sometimes we have good, thorough conversations about our kids with others, and it's done in love, and it's not a complaint, but sometimes it's not. So complaining, then, I think, is a Christian issue. And choosing not to complain, then, is a spiritual practice. That's why I'm proposing this armband thing. Not complaining is a spiritual practice the same way as choosing to pray is a spiritual practice. Why? Because there's a connection. Here's the connection. There's a connection between what comes out of your mouth, what you communicate, okay? What's coming out of your mouth is connected to what's going on in your head, how you think. How you think is connected to the state or the health of your spirit. The health of your spirit is really about how connected you are to God's Holy Spirit, and holy is emphasized on the screen because holy means to be set apart. It means to be different. And here's my question for me that I've been dealing with, because I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks now. Are you and I any different than the people that are out there that don't know Jesus? When it really comes down to our what we say, are we any different on the soccer field as we watch people that ref the game who are amateurs and often kids? Are we different from the parents around us? Are we different at office? Are we different in the community? Are we different at the school? Are we different because God is different? Listen, friends, some of you are thinking, but Tom, didn't God complain in the Old Testament? I mean, God's all the time saying in the Old Testament, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. No. God often in the Old Testament says, you're being idolatrous. You're lying. That's not my way. See, that's not a complaint. That's a statement of fact to someone who has power to change. Jesus, in the New Testament, often confronts people, says you're being judgmental, or saying, you know what, that is a sin. You don't want to do that anymore. Go and sin no more. But let me ask you this. When you open your Bibles, do you ever see Jesus walking with Peter going, you won't believe what James and John did this time? Those guys want a seat. One on the right, like, can you believe they said that? What a bunch of jerks. Why is that not there? Is it not there because the gospel writers didn't notice? So they didn't write? What if it's this? What if we see Jesus free of complaint because they did notice? What if the beauty of his soul, his being divine, was such that it just wasn't there? One of the struggles that many of us have is that we have a thought factory that's manufacturing complaint after complaint after complaint. There's a book called Complaint Free World, which this concept is based on. These bracelets came from the folks that have Complaint Free World. The author's name is Will Bowen. Will Bowen says that your mind is like a factory, and it's taking orders from your mouth. And your mouth is saying, complain, 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 complain. And if you want to change your mind, you have to stop issuing orders for complaint, and the factory will then stop producing it. So if you say, I'm not complaining anymore, I'm going to go 21 straight days, and every time I foul it up, I'm going to go back, just like an AA. In AA, if you violate your sobriety, then you just start at day one. Nobody kicks you, nobody, people encourage you and support you, but you do go back to day one and you start over. Well, that's what this is. Why? Because we're trying to change our thinking. If you stop issuing orders for complaints, your brain will stop manufacturing, and it'll get into a new product line called compliments, goodness. Friends, I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, I'm not that good. I can't be that good. Then I've really got to challenge you as your pastor. Don't you want to be a person who's gentle in speech? Who's good, who's forgiving, who's gracious? Because the Apostle Paul says those are the fruits of God's Spirit interacting with your life. If we say, I just can't do it, what we're really saying is, I don't want that part of God's nature affecting my nature. I really do think it's that serious. So for me, this is not a gimmick. This is not a, this church, we are in the transformation business. We're trying to help you have a different experience of your life, your family. We want to see you transform. So the scripture says this, Matthew 5, you're the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's not good for anything. Your witness, my witness, when we complain, is not good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Can I tell you, friends, I think when you and I complain out there to our friends and our family and everybody else, I don't think they see Jesus in those moments. Instead, when you have a lamp, you put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. When you walk in, do people see that you carry a light? Do they see it? And when you leave a room, do people, when they talk about you, do they say, boy, I'll tell you one thing I love about those people. I always feel better when I'm around them. I feel brighter, happier, more hopeful, appreciated, loved. What light do we bring? So what are the mechanics? What are we going to do? Because we're going to have to do this together. Friends, if we don't pull together on this one, we, as Ben Franklin said, will surely fall apart. So here's the thing. On the way out, we'll give you one of these. Free. Free. And we paid for them. We paid for them, but we'll give it to you free. Why? Because I really think the band matters. And as somebody who's been wearing it a couple days, I think the band matters. Now, take one for yourself, and you can take one for your immediate family. That's fine, too. Do not take one for your boss. Do not take one for your uncle who has a problem with this, who lives in Milwaukee. No, this is not about other people. This is not about our evaluating other people. This is about us dealing with us, okay? So you can't drag anybody else into this thing. Now, what you can do is if you've got a friend and they've been telling you, my kids complain all the time, or my spouse complains all the time, or my friend, whatever, send them the invitation that came to you by email. Those of you who signed up for our electronic communication, or one of those little cards out on the connection point desk, give them one and just say, don't say you complain a lot. Say, hey, you said to me the other day that this is something you're struggling. Come join our church. Come do this. And if we run out of these, we'll order more. Ordered a couple thousand, so I'm thinking we'll have enough, but maybe not. I would love it if we would run out because more people want to do this. Now, here's the deal. You switch bands every time you complain. I've already said that. And what you're going for is 21 straight days. Every time you complain, you go back to day one. What does that mean? That means Tom Berlin should finish sometime in February. You know? So, I mean, seriously, this I'm not saying we're going to do this during September, but we probably won't complete it during September. Let me tell you a couple things about the bands, because it's funny when you start talking about people, the questions that have been coming up about this. Track your days. So you have to have a place where you actually track that you're on day number 5, day number 6. You want to see that daily progress. Do not be a bracelet cop. Okay? No, like, oh, gotcha. Right? In fact, okay, if you become a bracelet cop, what it means is you just complained about their complaining. Switch it, baby. Okay? Right? You're like, now here's what you can do. Here's what you can say. If you hear somebody complaining and they're in this program, what you can say to them is this. Tell me what you're going to do about that. Say why. That drives people back into functional behavior. Go to the person that has power. Go to the person in question. So don't be a bracelet cop. Number three, don't be clever. Okay, don't be clever. We already know you're clever, okay? No wearing a bracelet on two wrists so you never have to change it. You don't get a second bracelet. You just get one. No declaring a free day and saying you'll start over tomorrow. Why? That doesn't change what's happening up here. That's like people who diet. They eat a big dessert at lunch and then go, well, I might as well eat big at dinner too. No, it doesn't work. No complaining twice in a row so that you don't have to switch bracelets. It's going to take you a minute, but you're going to figure it out. All that's out of bounds. If you find yourself being clever, don't do it. You're reasonable people. You'll do the right thing. Switch it if you have a complaint, a criticism, gossip, because gossip is a form of complaint, by the way. And the hardest, the worst one of all, sarcasm. My old friend. And it's really terrible if you're good at being funny when you're sarcastic. Saturday, I discovered that is also a form of complaint. When I lost wrist hair number 12. All right, finally, we're going to give you a sermon series. We're going to be talking about this for 4 weeks. Why? We want to talk about why we are complaining. Next week, I think it's called the source of our discontent. There are reasons we complain a lot. Spiritual reasons. Sin reasons, fear reasons, injustice reasons. We want to talk about those. We'll do things like that this month. And we'll also give you encouragement by way of your cell phone if you want it, or the blogs or other spaces. And third, think about replacement behaviors. So you're going to see up around the building here. We can't send these. I'd love to put one on the side of our cars, but we can't do that. But like, here's Rick Sherbert, who runs our building, and he's thinking, be grateful. That's a replacement behavior. Rather than complaining, think of gratitude. Look at the next one. There's Yoon, who's one of our music directors. Be satisfied. Like, just think about why should I be satisfied instead of complaining? Third one, this is Bill Gray, who's in charge of our small group ministry. Be filled with faith. Bill's like, hey, I need to be more loving of Jesus right now. Number four, this is, Pam White is our preschool director. Be thoughtful. Thoughtfulness. If you spend your time being thoughtful, you just don't complain as much. Do this with me. Seriously, do this with me. Get your whole family to do this. I think you're going to find it transformational. I think it really matters. I think it's one of the big issues. What if we are a complaint-free congregation? And so, we're out of time, aren't we? It's 10:31. We're out of time. Stand with me. The song is going to be sung as you leave. If you're frustrated by that, you can come up to me and say, hey, Tom, did you notice we didn't sing the last song? That's fair. Hey, I pray that God will empower us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his light to shine upon you. May the Lord's love be so deep within you that it is all others see or hear. You are the salt of the earth. You are already the light of the world. Now go bring that light everywhere you go. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.